Now we ask you, brothers, to respect those who work hard among you, who are over you in the Lord, and who admonish you. Hold them in the highest regard in love because of their work. Live in peace with each other. And we urge you, brothers, warn those who are idle, encourage the timid, help the weak, be patient with everyone. Make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always try to be kind to each other and to everyone else. Be joyful always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not put out the Spirit's fire. Do not treat prophecies with contempt. Test everything. Hold on to the good. Avoid any kind of evil. May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. Brothers, pray for us. Greet all the brothers with a holy kiss. I charge you before the Lord to have this letter read to all the brothers. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
So Rob is going to come and speak to us this morning. And Rob, whilst we love you, we don't want to hear from you. We want to hear from the Lord. So let me pray that we will hear the Lord speak through you this morning to us. I was just struck, just as Margaret was reading then, do not put out the Spirit's fire. We want the Spirit's fire in this place this morning. So let's pray for that. Heavenly Father, do thank you for Rob. Thank you for the time he spent in this passage in order to help us this morning to understand it. And so we pray that you would anoint him by your Spirit, that we would hear through him from you this morning. Amen. Thanks, Rob.
Thank you. In fact, that's exactly what I was going to pray at the start. So this morning we come to the final part of 1 Thessalonians, and as we see in our reading, this is actually the end of the letter to the Christians in Thessalonica. Paul writes in partnership with Timothy and Silas to encourage, correct, and facilitate the growth and fellowship within the church membership. Paul and his fellow disciples are unable to stay in the church community permanently, and he wishes to support them and keep them in the right path in his absence. So we go from there. Paul knows the world around them will challenge and also try to mislead them unless they work together in unity and in peace. And in the first part, verses 12 and 13, it says, "Now we ask you, brothers and sisters, to acknowledge those who work hard among you, who care for you in the Lord and who admonish you. Hold them in the highest regard in love because of their work. Live in peace with each other." Now, Paul showed a perfect example while he was with them, strong in God's word, and hard-working, delivering the gospel message whenever and wherever he could. He and Silas and Timothy worked by example, not by dictatorship. They lived, spoke, and acted in the same way that Jesus did when he was on earth. He was servant first, then an instructor, and then a perfecter. Our first thing to remember, therefore, in this passage, I believe, is respect. At the moment, we have the perfect example of the lack of respect in our world. There's a man who leads one of the largest countries, largest economies and populations. Donald Trump is a bully. He has little or no respect for anyone or anything that does not fit in his worldview. He believes that he can dominate and change anything because he has the power, greed, and the scale of economy and power to back up his demands. Now, I will say that this may not seem to apply to any church situation, but if we have no respect and love for each other and our leadership teams, then we become bullies in our own right. Where is servanthood in that situation? Who is likely to listen and learn from people who only reflect the worst part of our world and not the Christ and gospel-centered attitude that we are encouraged to display in Paul's letter? Our actions and attitude should be reflected, as in the next verses of Paul's letter, in verses 14 and 15. And if you're following along, you can find it for yourself as well. And we urge you, brothers and sisters, warn those who are idle and disruptive, encourage the disheartened, help the weak, be patient with everyone, not always me, make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always strive to do what is good for each other and for everyone else. Now, can you see the contrast with these verses and the attitudes and actions of some of the people in the world around us? We are to be different. So our next thing to remember is that in our relationships, we are also to be different. We are to be a community that instructs. The way that we live our life should show Christ's peace, love and respectful attitude. Christ told the truth, but he never bullied those who confronted him. Christ healed and helped those around him. For instance, the Roman centurion, who was not even a part of his Jewish community, who asked for help and he healed his daughter. Relationship is therefore an active event, not just words. Jesus put his words of respect into action, and even on the cross, he listened to both criminals and instructed them with love. As a part of this church leadership team, we first show respect to each other's views and strengths and weaknesses, helping lessen those areas of weakness with advice and help. We are a team, a group of individuals who work together and strengthen each other. But this team could not work without the consent and cooperation of the church family. How do you support that work, and how can we do things better? Paul and the other disciples worked tirelessly to deliver Christ's message of peace and change, but they needed the help of those people around them. Look at verses 14 and 15 again. Are we working to those aims? Are we trying to do what is good for each other and everyone else? It seems like a big task, but many hands make light work. It says in Mark 10, verses 42 to 45, the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. So is our attitude the same? Do we have respect, friendship and fellowship with each other in the same way? How do we increase and improve our work for each other and for Christ? The theme continues then in verses 16, 17 and 18. Rejoice always, pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. So we are talking about both God and Jesus. We're not talking about an individual. We're talking about a team, because we also mentioned the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit led the disciples after Jesus' death, resurrection and ascension. And believe it or not, it is still available to Christians today. We may say, how do I get it? What is it? Well, the above verses actually say it all. This is the way: to pray, to rejoice, and to listen for God's leading. This is actually the Holy Spirit at work. So finally, our last item to think about is spiritual attitude and discernment. Bit of a mouthful, but really it is about listening for God's voice, learning from our Bibles, and asking for help from those who should know which way we need to go. God has always been available to his people. Characters such as Noah, Moses, Daniel, and all the prophets, they had God's leadership and presence with them. They had angels, fiery bushes, a simple, clear voice, and some even had the direct presence of Jesus, God in person. God is always near to those who are prepared to listen and to learn. Verses 19 to 22 say, "Do not quench the spirit, do not treat prophecies with contempt, but test them all. Hold on to what is good, reject every kind of evil." Paul and therefore God are telling us to listen and to test the truth before we act. We are to be beyond reproach, which is very difficult as a sinful human being. None of us is perfect, but we are to continually to work towards that goal. If we love and support and care for each other, that task is certainly made easier. The Bible says we are not left to cope on our own, but spiritually we need to be prepared. And in the final verses of our reading, Paul outlines where our help comes from. And in verses 23 and 24, it says, "May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you, he's faithful and he will do it." So as you notice, it's not down to us. It's down to God, Jesus and the Holy Spirit. So as we see and hear, Paul leaves instructions for these Christians in Thessalonica. But actually, they are for all who follow Christ. We are to have respect for our leaders and each other. Our relationships are to be loving and peaceful, but also in that we are to instruct and correct the behavior of those who are acting and speaking in the wrong way. And finally, to have a spiritually led attitude and discernment, which is only found in continual prayer, study of God's word, and listening to correct leadership within the church family. Yes, we should question and comment, but with respect. Remember that our time on this earth is only temporary, and we look forward to Christ's second coming and a new heaven and a new earth. Donald Trump forgets that there will eventually be a reckoning. Let us as Christians not forget who is our final judge. So let us pray. Lord, we ask you to lead us as a church family through your Holy Spirit. Give our leadership team spiritual-led discernment and attitudes. Help us to increase your presence in this place. And as it says in our final verses, brothers and sisters, pray for us. Greet all God's people with a holy kiss. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. In the name of Jesus Christ, we ask all these things. Amen.